into fellowship, not just fellowship one another, but around His Word. And we want to pick up on the thought we didn't finish this morning. And I told my wife, and I think it was Mary that was with us, I said, well, I guess all month long it's going to be hellfire, damnation, wrath of God preaching. And I'm trying to contain these just to Sunday mornings, and they keep growing on us. And I don't know what God's doing. I have no idea what God is doing. I just know what God put on my heart to preach this month. And I've got to obey Him. It ain't fun. It don't make me happy to do it. But it's what God seems to have ordered in our heart. And I leave all the results up to the Lord. I'll be honest. I think the Lord's going to do more in the church than He is maybe for sinners. And if God can do a work in the church, it'll break out on some sinners. And I believe that in these days. Let's stand together in reverence reading of the Word of God. And we'll preach to you here just a little while. I'll give you some things that we left out this morning and work our way to where we left off. And then we want to preach to you a little while here this evening as we've begun last Sunday on the seed beds message, I guess, for the thoughts we're given. It's taken from Matthew 3, where John the Baptist asked the Pharisees, who hath warned you to flee from wrath to come? Who hath warned you to flee from wrath to come? So we preached last Sunday on warnings of wrath to come. And there is wrath coming. And it is approaching this generation very, very quickly. And we're as close to it. Made the statement this morning, it bears saying again, if you're here tonight and you're lost and you're not right with God, you are closer to the wrath that is to come than you've ever been. Right. Believe that's right. It's coming, and it's coming swiftly, and it's coming quickly. And so we're sounding the warning. Now this morning we began a message asking from another question that we find here in Matthew 23, verse number 33. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, Christ speaking to the same crowd. Here's what He said. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? What a question. What a question. Let's read our verses down through the end of the chapter. This is where we'll preach mostly from tonight. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood. Notice that phrase, all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. From the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Appreciate you standing tonight. We want to continue our thought on how can ye escape the damnation of hell. Heavenly Father, tonight we come before you by the mercy and the grace and the name and bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that in and of ourselves, Lord, dwelleth no good thing, that we're not deserving of anything. We're not worthy tonight. Lord, we're not of that crowd that is merit mongers that more think that God owes us anything. Lord, we're of that crowd tonight, though, that, Lord, understands we desperately need the help of God. Lord, I need your help and your touch, and Lord, this church does as well. Lord, we're mindful tonight that without you we can do nothing. So, Father, I pray one more time, Lord, before we even attempt to try to preach. Lord, we make our prayer not out of tradition or, Lord, to fill up space, but, Lord, to ask you sincerely from our heart. Dear God, please help us tonight. I pray, Lord, the message would, Lord, reverberate and resound in every heart and in every life. Lord, especially of sinners, but also saints. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd do a work, Lord, in our hearts. Send a revival to our church. Lord, a revival of a burden for sinners. A revival, Lord, of excitement and joy of that you saved us from. Lord, I pray the overflow from that, Lord, would be that many sinners, Lord, would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may it come to them tonight, even by way of this service and this message. Lord, everything that you do that we know about and all you do we don't know about, may the glory be unto your name. It's in Jesus' name again we ask. Amen and amen. In setting the context of Matthew 23, we understand that this chapter deals with Christ's warning about the Pharisees and about false religion and false hope that was established in their day by way of Judaism. We understand the Lord, beginning in verse number 13, turns his attention from the multitude and warning the crowd of this dangerous, dangerous hope of known as by way of the religion of the Pharisees, where he now speaks to them very directly, pronouncing woe and hypocrisy upon their life for the religion and the damnation they had not only to their own soul, but that they were establishing in others. Christ indicts them with all sorts of sins, of pride and of rebellion and of selfishness, and calls them a child of hell, and that they are making of their own converts twofold children of hell. The Lord seems to lay upon us in Matthew 23 one of the strongest indictments and rebukes he would ever give in all his earthly ministry. He understands his life is coming to a close. He understands that 3.5 years prior to Matthew 23, John the Baptist looked at this same crowd and told them they needed to repent of their sin, put their faith in the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and that they need to allow Jesus Christ to change their life. They had rejected the message of John the Baptist, and now 3.5 years later, amen, Christ doesn't change the message they had received. He preaches to them again a message that, amen, that without him and without God's grace, they are absolutely hopeless. Now this evening, I want to say a word by way of introduction that we bypassed this morning and didn't feel led to get into much of it. Maybe it'll fit here for this evening, but the Bible said all this matter of pronouncing woe and hypocrisy, the conclusion of this message ends with the description of this crowd. And it's the same description John the Baptist gave to them in Matthew chapter number 3. And it's the same description Christ would use several times in his earthly ministry when dealing with the Pharisees. He calls them serpents and a generation of vipers. And that's a strong indictment. If I was to call you a low down snake tonight, that would be an offensive term you would understand. I didn't think a lot about you, that I thought little of you. Amen, it would be not a term of endearment, but a term of detriment, a term of belittling, a term of trying to shake you and get your attention tonight. Amen, about what I thought about your character. But the Lord don't care about their feelings. He calls them what they are. Amen. He looked at them eyeball to eyeball and said, you are a serpent and you are a generation of vipers. And why would the Lord describe them in such a way? It really reveals three different things, and it gets us to our thought. I believe he is revealing to them their daddy. He is revealing to them their daddy. Amen. You see, the devil was the one that came in the garden in Genesis 3. He didn't come in the form of a dog. He didn't come in the form of a camel. He didn't come, my friend, in the form of some, amen, some cute and cuddly little lap sort of animal. No, friend, he came, Amen. The Bible said, in the form of a serpent. And when Jesus calls them serpents and vipers, amen, what he's telling them, you are of your father, the devil. Amen. The old serpent, the old wily one, the beguiling one. Amen. And he is indicting them and revealing to them who their father really is. Amen. God surely was not their father. Amen. And Jesus would say in other places, amen, if Abraham had truly been their father spiritually, amen, they would have acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ in his day. Amen, as Abraham did. Amen, he is revealing to them who their daddy is. Amen, and so, my friend, this advocation is made to all sinners today. Amen, you are spiritually a serpent or a viper. Amen, so long as you're of the God of this world. Amen, so long as you're the children of disobedience and rebellion. Amen, that reveals who your father really is. And so it's revealing their daddy. It is revealing their deception of the serpents and the vipers of that region and even of our own environment in which we live in tonight. We understand that they blend into their environment. Amen, in that day a viper was known to, amen, be able to appear as though it were some twig or stick lying upon the ground. You see that in the life of the Apostle Paul in the island of Melita. Amen, where he's going and gathering sticks to throw in the fire, a viper latches upon his hand. Amen, somebody said, well, Paul should have been wiser than that. Amen, you see that viper, amen, possessed an ability to be deceptive. Amen, it looked like a stick, it laid there like a stick, it blended in the environment, but it wasn't a stick, it was very deceptive. And when Christ calls them serpents and a generation of vipers, what he's saying is you are filled with deception. Amen. You are not only deceiving others, but you are deceiving yourself. You are deceived in your religion. You are deceived in your outward practice of what you think somebody ought to be. And the Lord is revealing to them something about their own deception. I'll say more about that maybe in a moment. And then I think the third idea that is being communicated here, literally in the context, is that the Lord is revealing their danger. He is revealing their danger. You see, the Lord has in mind the same thing John the Baptist had in Matthew chapter number 3. When he called them serpents and a generation of vipers. You remember what John said at several verses later after he called them that and indicted them with that. Amen. He talked about the farmer in the field. Amen. Laying his axe to the root and chopping down the unfruitful tree. He talked about the farmer that was in the field of harvest. Amen. Garnering his harvest into the storehouse. Said how that he would bring the chaff away from the wheat and bind the chaff and all the disdain and all the refuse that, amen, was not worth anything. He would bind it together, pile it up, and that friend set that brush of bramble upon fire. And them serpents and those vipers would make their dens and their nests. And my friend lay within all of that. Amen. And John said he comes by. Then the Lord comes by with his fan in his hand. Amen. Setting fire to all of that worthless stuff. Amen. On that day, the serpents and the vipers are in danger of the fire. Now that's what Christ has in mind here. He plainly says, amen, I know what you are. You are a serpent and a generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Amen. He's telling them you are in danger. There is something coming your way. Amen. And he is telling them there, amen, that there is a way of escape. We want to preach on that tonight. Amen. But he's asking them, how in the world are you going to escape? of the damnation of hell. And so we're laying in upon Christ's teaching in this question, amen, on the doctrine of hell. Amen. What do we learn? I believe I've drawn out three truths that, amen, the Lord has laid on our heart from this one single simple question, amen, that we derive about the doctrine of hell. And we preached in this morning the reality of hell. Amen. Christ in this question lays upon you and I that hell is a real literal place. Amen. It is a real literal place. He is confirming the existence of an awful place called hell. We said this morning it's not a parable or a scare tactic. Hell is not annihilation or a temporary place of purging. Amen. It's not purgatory, nor is it the grave. It is a real place where the real souls of real people who die without Christ, amen, go and spend eternity. Amen. Psalm 9 and verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Amen. That's where you're going without Christ. That's where wicked people go. And we're all born wicked. We're all born away from God. Amen. We're all born iniquitous with a sin nature. Amen. That is nothing more than fit for the flames of hell. Amen. Christ spoke twice as much about hell as he did heaven. Amen. Revealing that Christ believed in the reality of hell. Amen. He didn't think it was some scare tactic. Amen. He didn't think, my friend, it was some story or some fable. Amen. Christ believed in the reality of hell. Amen. In Matthew 5, we mentioned it this morning. Amen. The Sermon on the Mount, verse 29 and 30. Amen. He said, if your right eye offends you, if your right hand, amen, right eye offends you, pluck it out. If your right hand or your right foot offends you, amen, you need to cut it off. Would be better to leave this life blind and maimed than to enter into eternity with all your limbs and all your members, amen, having not found redemption in Christ, and spent an eternity in a place called hell. Amen. I think about the reality of hell and what Christ, amen, teaches you and I in this question and throughout every time that he spake about this subject. Amen. Tell me Christ don't believe in the reality of hell. Amen. Here's what he said in Luke chapter number 12, verse 4 and 5. But Tim, he said, what y'all need to do is fear not he that can kill the body. Amen. But rather fear him that can kill the soul. And after, my friend, you stand before him. Amen. He has the ability and possesses the authority. Amen. Jesus said to cast you into hell. And then he said, fear him. Amen. Why did Christ say that? Because, amen, Christ taught the reality of hell. Now that's important because even in our own community, our own Bible Belt community, amen, there are different religious organizations around, amen, that deny the real literal existence of this place called hell. Amen. But my friend, it doesn't matter what they believe or you believe, how you feel about the subject matter. Amen. The reality of hell is an undeniable Bible doctrine. Amen. The reality of hell's fire we dealt with today in the torments that are there. A rich man testifying that Father Abraham's son Lazarus sent him me. Amen. Dip his finger in water and come over here. Amen. And bring me one little drop of water off his finger. Amen. To cool my tongue for one day testified. He testified, I am tormented in this flame. So there is the reality of hell's fire. There are no parties. There are no sexual pleasures there. Amen. There are no rock and roll concerts there. My friend, there's no Budweiser, no moonshine. Amen. There's no marijuana joints. There's no fentanyl there. My friend, there's no vice here. Amen. And no pleasure in this place. It is the reality of hell's fire and the reality of hell's fullness. It hath enlarged herself. And Isaiah said, and that without measure. Amen. And hell is enlarging itself day by day. Amen. Why? Because there's rich and poor, black and white and brown. Amen. There are people, my friend, of great prestige and those that have not. Amen. People of all walks and backgrounds of life. Amen. Every race and every creed of people. Amen. That dwells and die without Christ. Amen. They are filling up the depths of the charred walls in this damnable place. Amen. That is known as hell. Amen. Many, Jesus said, be that go in thereat. Amen. Not a few, not a small number. It's not just the really, really, really bad. It is every sinner man, boy and girl, that my friend refuses the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we could peel back, my friend, the gates of hell and take a peek tonight, amen, you would see a place where they are stacked shoulder to shoulder. Amen. Rolling around in the center of the earth, rolling around in the fire. Amen. Suffering in the flame. Amen. The reality of hell's fullness is, amen, another one just went there. Amen. Friend, the reality is another just went there. And the reality is another and another and another. And the day is coming, if you don't get saved, you'll be the one. The reality of hell's fullness, the reality of hell's fire, a reality of hell's forever. Amen. It's not a temporary place. It is a forever place. Amen. Where the worm died not, neither is the fire quenched. Amen. Where you go on and on and on and on forever. Amen. Burning in a fire that, though it is a literal, it is something we've never said. A fire that possesses the ability, amen, to turn the heat on to a greater degree than mankind has ever known. And yet, my friend, it never consumes it. It never burns out. It never runs out. Amen. The soul is never, my friend, annihilated. Amen. But that sinner burns, my friend, forever and forever and forever. Amen. That is the reality of hell today. Oh, sinner friend, I beg of you one more time. Amen. You do not want to go to this awful place. Amen. You do not want to enter in the reality of hell today. Amen. Oh, I beg of you, turn to Jesus. I beg of you this evening. Amen. To turn from your sin and your wicked ways. Amen. There is a Savior and a mediator between God and men. Amen. That can bring the reality of salvation and the reality of the grace of God. Amen. It can, my friend, reach down. Amen. In the depths and the horrible pit of sin you're in. Amen. And if you refuse that, you will experience the reality of hell. Reality of hell. We looked at this morning the retribution of hell quickly. Amen. Christ says not only is hell, we see the reality of hell in this question. Amen. We see the retribution of hell. Amen. Christ speaks of a soul's damnation in relation to this place called hell. A word here, damnation, speaks of a tribunal whereby divine law hands down a just sentence. When people go thinking about what the Bible says about hell, they immediately began to concoct all sorts of ideas that are anti the Word of God. Amen. They'll make statements like, well, nobody deserves to go to such an awful place. But I'm reminding you tonight, at this damnation that Christ speaks about, the damnation of hell, it is meted out upon that soul. Amen. Because of a man's sin. Amen. Because of a man's breaking of God's divine law. Amen. That is the damnation that, amen, that what, my friend, we deserve cannot be reversed. Amen. It cannot, my friend, be turned around. Amen. Mankind must, my friend, experience, amen, the wages of his own sin. Amen. An eternal death, an eternal separation God from God in all His grace and all His love and all His goodness. Amen. There'll come a time after in the damnation of hell. Amen. We'll bring retribution upon every soul. Amen. That played games with the long-suffering patience of God. Amen. That refused His grace. Amen. Friend, oh, in this word damnation. Amen. This word, in this word damnation is indicated a man's deservedness of hell because of what we are. You are ungodly. You are a sinner. You are iniquitous. The word of God condemns us, my friends say. Amen. That the poison of very asp is in our tongue, under our tongue, and within our mouth. Amen. It condemns us, my friend, with our feet. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. Amen. The word of God condemns every person ever born as though our hands, my friend, were guilty. Amen. Of innocent blood. Amen. And worse than anything we can imagine. Amen. The word of God indicts us. Amen. With having a deceitful and a wicked heart. Amen. That is against God in rebellion and pride to every degree. And the only thing we truly deserve from God is the damnation of hell.
Amen. That's right.
That's what we deserve. Damnation indicates, it reveals that this is what we deserve. People say, well, that ain't fair. If God was fair, amen. Listen, I told you this morning, it ain't about fairness. And the fact of the matter is, God would be fair. Amen. He's made a way of escape. We're trying to get back to tonight. Amen. He did make a way for mankind to be saved. Amen. I tell you what ain't fair is for you to have the privilege, amen, to hear it over and over and over again, to know the gospel and the word of God. Amen. To be given invitation after invitation. Amen. What ain't fair is that God has done everything, amen, to secure your salvation from this retribution. And you resist it. It is not God who is unfair. It is the man who goes on in his rebellion.
Amen.
It's not about fairness. It is about the holiness and the justness of the character of our God. God has to cast a sinner into hell. If he didn't, it would violate his own holiness.
Amen. Amen.
So he said, well, the Bible said God is love, and God is love. The same Bible that said God is love said he's angry with the wicked every day. Ain't it amazing, this crowd of liberals in their day? Amen. They want to cherry pick the word of God. Amen. They want to cherry pick verses. Amen. To try to make some sort of agenda. And yet in doing so, they defile the character of God. Amen. That is where there is the retribution of hell. Amen. Because mankind is away from God. Amen. And the only thing we deserve from God, it's the damnation of hell. Brings us tonight to not only the reality and the retribution, but let me say a word tonight about the rescue from hell. We learn this in Christ's question tonight as he brings his message to this crowd of religiously lost sinners. And it doesn't matter if it's Pharisees or drunkards or harlots or, amen, the worst of the worst kind that we can pick out tonight. Amen. The fact of the matter, this question is good for every sinner. How can ye, here's the word now, and I love this word, Brother Riley, escape. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? This word escape, I find in it, my friend, something that is glorious, for the Lord is indicating, he is declaring, amen, that there is a way of escape. There is a way, my friend, to bypass that you deserve. Amen. Let me give it to you this way. The word escape, listen to this. It means literally to flee from and avoid danger.
Yes, sir.
I like this. Bobby, it means to get out of the way. How can ye get out of the way of the damnation of hell? And you see, the fact is the wrath of God is coming. Amen. There is wrath that is to come. Amen. It's approaching. It's getting ever closer. And all the while, the sinner does not realize the wrath is coming this way. And they are, my friend, coming this way. And they are on a collision course. They're bad, my friend. The wrath that is to come is going to intersect their life one day. The Lord is saying, how can you escape? How are you going to get out of the way of that you deserve? How are you going to get out of the way of that is almost ready to swallow you out? Amen. How can ye escape?
Yes, sir.
The word escape means to obtain security from.
Hey.
Woo, hallelujah. Yeah. It means this. Sissy, it means to pass without harm.
Amen.
I'm about to run, Brother Mike. If I run, take off shouting, y'all just stand and shout. You know what I'm shouting about. Amen. I'm glad. Thank God. Amen. Christ is saying to them, amen, there is a way to pass through the judgment. There is a way to go before God. There is a way to come outside the other end of the tribunal. Amen. And not have any harm brought to your soul. Amen. Oh, thank God today. Amen. There is a way provided to escape. Thank God, that's why Jesus came down from on high.
Amen.
Lived and walked among us. My friend, what did he bring? He brought a way of escape. Oh, hallelujah. He brought, amen, a divine rescue plan. My friend, and he brought a plan that, amen, would bring mercy and grace and redemption. Amen. And oh, you and I deserve that damnation. Amen. We are deserving of hell and its fire and its fullness, and to be identified, amen, with other sinners that have been in an iniquitous way. Amen. We deserve to be there forever. The only way we can be rescued, as God the Father said, amen, I love them enough. I know what I've got to do to them. I know what they deserve. Amen, they've broken my law, and if my law is going to remain intact, I must cast them into hell.
Amen.
What I'll do for them is I'll take my own eternal son. I'll let him condescend and leave the pearly gates of heaven. Amen, and leave these portals of eternity. I'll wrap him in human flesh. I'll make him as though he were a servant among them. He'll walk among them. He'll eat with them. He'll be among them, and yet he'll be separate from sinners. He'll live all the days of his life with no guile in his mouth. He'll live all the days of his life without deceit in his heart. He'll live all the days of his life without walking away from God in an iniquitous path. He'll live all the days of his life, and the only thing his hands will do is the will of God.
Amen.
My friend, for 33 and a half years, Christ lived among us, and yet my friend lived a holy, perfect, sinless life.
Amen.
By way of an old rugged cross, by way of his blood being shed, by way of the resurrection out of a tomb 3 days later. Hey, man, what did he do? He provided a way of escape. He provided, my friend, an alternative to our damnation. He provided, hey, man, deliverance by way. of the grace of God that we can pass through without harm. Glory to God. I'm glad tonight to tell this generation, yeah, we may deserve help, and there is a way of escape. Amen. It ain't found in religion. It ain't found in baptismal water. Said it ain't found in self-glorification. Amen. It ain't, my friend, found in church membership or good works or any other thing. You can't buy your way into, my friend, a rescue plan. Amen. It ain't an insurance policy. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, it is so much more. Amen. God provided a rescue from hell, thereby he can save you from the wrath that was to come. Amen. By his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a way of escape. Now this question to these men is intended to get them to understand what our generation needs to understand. And that is this, that in their spiritual condition, in their current spiritual condition, they have no escape if they remain as they are. There is no escape in their religion. There is no escape in them pronouncing one another to be righteous or better than so-and-so. The only escape is found, and that's what Christ is telling them. You'll never escape this in where you currently are if you remain the same as you is.
Amen.
Amen. Again, these serpents and vipers, they are creatures of deception. They blend in with their environment. They will have no escape from their damnation. Listen what I'm going to say. Here's what the Lord is telling them. You have no escape from damnation until you find an escape from your deception.
Yes, sir.
Until, my friend, you're delivered and flee and run from your false religion, your false profession, your idea that your good deeds are going to be enough, the idea since you have that you ain't as bad as somebody else. And my friend, we all can say deserve the damnation of hell. Until they flee their deception, they will find no way of escape. Believe there is involved here an admission and a confession that a sinner must make, that I am what that book says I am.
Yes, sir.
And I believe that's so.
Hey.
And so what is the means? You say, preacher, you say that Christ provided the means, that Christ provided the rescue plan. What is it that has been provided that would bring a way of escape? What is it that I must embrace to be rescued from hell? Amen. Amen. Well, he's going to tell them what they have been rejecting that he has given them all along. Let me word it this way, and I'm almost done. Amen. Maybe. Number one, they rejected the Bible. I was looking at these verses, Brother Bob, and it just seemed to leap off the page immediately after the Lord said, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? You staying in the same condition you're in. Amen. You are in danger of leaving this world deserving of the judgment of God.
Amen.
Then immediately in verse 34, wherefore? Wherefore, in light of the fact that you deserve the damnation of Almighty God, that damnation of hell, you deserve the fire and the brimstone and the forever. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Now he's using their own vernacular that they can understand in their culture. You know how we would say it in this day? I ain't trying to change the Bible, but what he's saying is, I send you preachers. I send you men of God that know what my word says, to sound the alarm and to give the warning and to call you to turn from your sin and to turn to a Savior. Amen. And what did he say? He said, I've sent them unto you. Amen. I send unto you these men of God. And some of them ye shall kill and crucify. And he said, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. The Lord said, and he's going to indict them all along the way. Amen. And he said this several times to them, that you're just like your daddies were. Amen. Just like in the Old Testament, they didn't want God's word. They didn't want, amen, our vernacular. They didn't want the Bible. Amen. They didn't want all the counsel of the word of God. They didn't want the whole story about the condition of their life and where they stood with God. They wanted no message of God is rejecting you in your self-proclaimed goodness. They wanted no reminder from the word of God, and their hearts were deceitful and wicked above all things. Amen. Then in their condition, they would never attain the approval and the favor of Almighty God. Do you know the whole counsel of the word of God is what people reject in this very day? And it is the word of God that shows you the way of escape from the damnation of hell. You reject God's word, you ain't got a leg to stand on. You go home and tell yourself what Brother Jeff just said. You reject God's word, there is no saving faith. Why? Because the Bible said, being born again of not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It is impossible to reject the Bible and find an escape from the damnation of hell. Why is it we invite and we invite and we invite and they never come? Or we invite and we invite and they show up one time and they fall under conviction and they never come back again? You want to know why? You want to know why? They don't like what they hear preached from the Bible. Bible said, so then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Amen. How many of y'all remember? How many of y'all that are truly born again and saved? Amen. You've been rescued from the flames of hell. Amen. You remember when you heard it for the very first time. Amen. I'm not talking about you heard it the first time, but you heard it for the very first time. Amen. It, my friend, was real to you, and you heard what you was, and you heard the way of escape, and you was pointing to the Savior. Amen. My friend, how that had troubled your soul, but it thrilled your soul. Amen. To learn that the Bible, though it condemns you, had the way of escape.
Amen.
You owe your salvation. I know, listen, I know, amen, and this bunch of compromising crowd, amen, they're mocking the term man of God. Man of God, you M-O-G-ers. Amen. And I don't claim to be much of one, but I do know somehow, some way, and I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord, that he counted me worthy putting me in the ministry. God raised me up to be a preacher for this generation, to give them the Bible and point them to God's way of rescue and escape from the damnation of hell. Amen. He didn't call me to get all wrapped up in politics, though we have to deal with that. He didn't call me amen, to build houses, though we'll do some of that, and feed hungry, though we do some of that. He called me to be a preacher of the Word of God and point people to His Word so they could know there's a way to escape. They rejected the Bible. That was their way of escape. We say number two, and I believe I can draw this out, but they rejected the blood. That was their way of escape. Here's what the Lord said. He said that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. Here's what He said. There have not been a few righteous men slain by the hands of evil men. But He says all the way back nearly to the beginning, when the blood of righteous Abel was shed by his own brother Cain. Because God rejected the offering and the sacrifice of Cain, because it was absent of both faith and of blood. He had no faith and he had no blood. I want to say it again. He had no faith and he had no blood. God said, Cain, this will never stand. God looked over his offering, and there, amen, there on the other side of the altar, amen, there was a younger brother that had brought the firstling of the fat of the firstling of his flock, amen, and he laid that blood sacrifice out, amen, before God, and God looked on it, and God, amen, extended grace to righteous Abel. When Cain realized that God had not received him and yet had rejected him, Cain rose up, and the Bible said he slew his own brother. And you can do a word study on that word slew, Brother Mike. Brother Mark, here's what you'll find. It literally means to lay out as a sacrifice. Cain's mentality was, you want blood? I'll give you blood. And in rage and in anger and in rebellion against God, he took the life and shed the blood of a righteous man. God said, you vipers, you serpents. He said, you have rejected the blood offering and the blood sacrifice, and you have replaced that by slaying the blood of righteous men. He said, here's what's coming down the road. All that blood that has been shed is going to be poured out upon you. You will stand accountable for the blood you shed because of the blood you rejected. Amen. He takes them and references righteous Abel and the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barakias, and we could go back to the book of 2 Chronicles and read that story. How then the king Joash rose up in anger. A man rose up and without regard for Jehoiada, the father of Zacharias, my friend, how that Joash had him slain. And Zacharias said, my blood be upon thee. He cried out. There are Jewish, and I'm not saying it's so. I'm just telling you, amen, that there are Jewish fables and stories that had shed the blood of Zacharias for two centuries bubbled up right there between the temple and the altar. Amen. It was as though it was a constant reminder that, and for generations they know that that is where a righteous prophet had been slain. Right there in the midst of all the bloodshed and the offerings that were done in the temple that represented the fact that without blood there is no remission of sin, there is no atonement, there is no forgiveness. Amen. And all of that then represented the great sacrifice that was to come. Amen. They, in rejecting the blood, found no way to escape. The Lord in Matthew 23, He's at the end of His ministry. In a few chapters there, He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be led through all the mock trials and all the back and forth of of the high priest to Pilate, to Herod, and back to Pilate. And finally, Pilate, in frustration, stands there and Pilate's all him and Christ. He tries to barter with them about setting Barabbas free and let's let this man who is innocent go free. He said, I'll let you make the choice. Brother Tim, here's what they said. They said, crucify him. Crucify him. Pilate, speaking to them, had a basin of water brought to him before that multitude, and he put his hands down in that basin of water and he looked at them. He said, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. He knew that that was a righteous man. He knew that was a guiltless man. He knew that was a just man. That crowd, with indignation in their heart, you remember what they said? Here's what they said. His blood, we know it ain't on you. And it was on Pilate. Ain't no water basin going to take the righteous blood and the innocent blood of the Lamb of God and wash you clear and free from what our sin does to him. They said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. They rejected a righteous man, not knowing it was his very blood that was getting ready to be poured forth out of his body for their own redemption. That was their way of escape. They rejected it. The message of the blood, it must be preached, it must be declared. And my friend, it is the blood of Christ, it's the Lamb of God, having been slain before the foundation of the world in that act and that transaction. It must take place on Golgotha's hill. It must take place in time. It must take place before the eyes of humanity. Amen. Why? Because that is God's plan for our redemption. God's plan for our escape. Amen. That there must be the blood of his son. Bring salvation to you and I. We're not redeemed. We're not rescued by silver and gold, Peter would say. With the precious blood of Christ. It's of the Lamb slain without spot, without blemish. If all we had to do was be dunked in a pool, how silly would it have been for God to send his own son to give his blood? If all we had to do was straighten up and do a little better today than we did yesterday, what a silly plan it would have been for God to say, I want my son to give his blood. Why did he have his son give his blood? So that through his blood we could enter boldly into the holiest of all. Amen. Confidently knowing that salvation was ours. Knowing that when we go to the judgment, we have the blood. Amen. Of Christ that speaketh better things than that of Abel to plead for you and I. Amen. You see, it's the pleading of the blood. The pleading of the blood. Amen. That speaketh better things than that of Abel's. Abel's cried for vengeance. Abel's cried for revenge. Abel's cried to God, or God, to set right that had been a crime against him. Of the blood of our righteous Savior. Amen. It pleads for mercy. Amen. Every sinner that's ever came and said, I plead the blood. I take the blood. I'm claiming the blood. I can never be righteous enough. I can never be good enough. I know what I deserve. And I know what Christ provided for my escape. Every sinner that my friend called out, Brother Riley sang it this morning. Amen. When I nailed, the blood fell. You say you believe that? Sure, I believe it. I experienced it. Amen. My sin got washed away. My life was changed. Amen. I'm glad I can pass the judgment without any harm. Amen. Because of the Bible. because of the blood.
Yes.
Let me say last of all, I'm done. So I don't believe you ever going to be done. I was wondering about 10 minutes ago, Brother Tim, but I'm nearing there. Number three, they rejected what we'll call tonight the bringing. Here's what Jesus said. Verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem? He speaks to them. He said, how oft, I love this word, how oft would I have gathered you? He said and gives them a description as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings. And then Jesus said, and ye would not. He is saying, I have done all I can do. I have pleaded. I have begged. And when he says, I would have gathered. I've been trying to call you under the shadow of my wing, under the shadow of my mercy. I've been inviting you and trying to bring you into an escape. The idea, the way that the word picture is given here is that a fire has broken out in some sort of barn or on some sort of farm, and the fire is creeping in. That mother hen, there are testimonies that have been recorded of this, literal events, where fires have broken out in chicken coops and around barns. And that mother hen, she'll gather in them little baby chicks and put them up underneath her and brood on top of them. When that fire begins to creep in, hold my mule, Brother Jack, I'm going to run all the way to White Pine for you tonight. That fire begins to creep in. That mother hen will literally absorb the flames of that fire and give her very life. When the fire is dissolved upon that mama bird, there have been stories where farmers have gone out and they can see the carcass of that hen. They can roll it over, and underneath there is young life. Begins to run around. Why? Hey, man, because, my friend, they were brought in underneath the wing of the mama. Hey, man, there was one that was willing to save their life and take on the flame and the fire. Hey, man, herself, so they can be rescued. Hey, man, laying down her life so her children could live. Is that not what Jesus did for us? Is that not what our Savior did? Amen. Is that not what He sends a personal invitation to tonight? Amen. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest in Calvary's hill. He took all the fire, all the judgment, all the damnation. It was all heaped upon Him. Amen. So that when the fire would be done, family of God could be birthed and have new life. He laid down His life so that we don't have to go to the damnation of hell.
Amen.
What Jesus is saying, you have rejected that. You think you're fine without me. You think you can resist and put on some flame retardant religion. Come on now. You think you can spray, amen, a fire hydrant of good deeds and that everything will be okay. The Lord is saying, how can you plan on escaping the damnation of hell when you have rejected the only means, and that is, I must bring you into salvation.
Amen.
See, if you try to go any other way than Christ, you ain't going to make it. And at the end of the day, that is the work of the Holy Spirit's job. The man of God giving you the Bible, telling you the blood of Jesus, what does the Spirit of God do? He says, come. Spirit of God says, come. And sinners, my friend, by the droves say, we will not, we will not, we will not. And the only alternative you have left, amen, is, my friend, to face the flames of hell.
Right.
Deal with the damnation that is coming wrath of God that is to come will be something you have to deal with, but Jesus already dealt with it, so you and I don't have to. But you got to come to Him. Is that right? Ultimately, by rejecting the Bible and the blood and the bringing, can I word it this way? They are rejecting the Blessed One. And here's what the Lord said. He said, you're not going to see me anymore until you see me coming. And then on that day, you'll say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. To this point, they have rejected the Blessed One. So far as it seems, Christ is saying, you're going to go on rejecting me. They are planning his martyr. They're planning his murder. They are planning his bloodshed in Matthew 23. He said, you can reject me and try to go around the way of escape and find some other way. But the day's coming. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that I am everything God the Father said I was. And every knee is going to bow. Every knee. Every knee. You'll get down on both your knees. And you will look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll say, He is Lord. And you'll say that to the glory of God the Father. I said this morning, it bears saying again tonight, you can do it tonight of your own free will. Can do it tonight because you realize what you are and what you deserve and recognize that Christ made a way of escape and that you swiftly and happily would get on your knees and recognize Christ to be the Lord and the Savior that He is. Or you can reject Him, His Bible, His blood, His bringing. The day will come. The day will come. Whether it's at your death or whether it's in the end of the judgment, you're going to be forced to get on your knees and confess what He gave you an invitation to confess while you're living. Is that right? I believe that's right. I don't know if I'm saying it all, amen, impressively as far as theologically. But I know I'm preaching the Bible tonight. You're going to say it. You're going to bow one day. Would be better to bow tonight. Daddy, would be better for you to bow tonight. Mama, grandparents, would be better for you to bow tonight and call upon Him who alone is your way of escape. The question of Hebrews chapter number 2, how, and I understand the context, but I surely feel like there's application. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So I ain't going to bow. I don't bow to nobody. Well, you don't have to bow tonight. You don't have to. We can't make you, but the day's coming. You're going to be made to do it. If you wait till then, it's going to be too late. And you'll get what you deserve.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Sister Cadney, come to the piano if you would. How can you escape the damnation of hell? I know that's a lot of preaching today on hell. And I know last week is all wrath and judgment and punishment. I told you, I don't know why. I don't know why. I know some of the messages I'm working on for the weeks to come. And Mr. Ronnie, they just get heavier and heavier. That Bible teaches there is wrath to come, that those that know it need to warn of it. Sound the warning. Sound the warning. So tonight and today, we've done it again. Do you know you're saved? Do you really, truly have confidence in your profession of faith? in the only way. See, Jesus said, I am the way. If you hang it, if you're trying to hold Jesus in something else, it ain't going to work. You're trying to do it without Jesus at all, it ain't going to work. It's Jesus and Jesus alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. He is the way, period. Exclamation point. He is the way. He is the only way. Do you know you're saved tonight? Child of God, you know you're saved. Are you doing all you can to pray for that part of your family circle that'll be unbroken? We laid a heavy charge on us at the end of the service this morning. You see, the only alternative, if they're not in heaven with you as a child of God, you do understand the only alternative is what I preach today. That's the only other alternative, and I know that's not pleasant to think about. But it's true. So what we're going to do, what we have to do, and what is our responsibility to do, better do all we can to get after it. Amen. Amen. Pray more. Be burdened more. Speak up more. Is that right? Believe it's right. Because there's people that need to know what they're headed to, but that there's a way of escape. Let's stand together.